This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Here's one more thing quickly I should have mentioned. Observations from watching the Open Championship today that I didn't mention earlier. I gave you a four or five, but what I didn't think to mention then was another good one. So one of the five leaders is an American player named Harris English. And I heard Dan Hicks talking about how he has a new caddy this week because his regular caddy was denied entry into Northern Ireland because he served time. And he said how this caddy had been at the Open 10 or 11 times previously, but there's a new law in the UK where I guess if you have served time, you're not allowed in. So here's Harris English where he has to grab a new caddy and he's tied for first. And I'm thinking that maybe, I wonder if the player at all is thinking like, wow, this was different. And I was able to sort of like clear my mind or something, not because of the prison term or anything, just because it was somebody different. That happens, you know, you just end up with a new caddy and you win. I was thinking about how the regular caddy might have been rooting against his guy, because now like Dan Hicks kind of went on about it, how the guy had been in prison and you know, really, hey man, I didn't need that. That's behind me. And I'm just trying to, you know, live my life and watch this tournament and root for my friend, but now my phone is blowing up because you had to go and tell everybody that, I don't know, probably should not think of it that way, but I might be the type where I'd be like, oh man, can we win next week? So not everybody is talking about my past. That'd be okay. Brian Koziol later, now on the Wester Hotline is Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Locked On Browns. Spencer, glad to have you back on today. How have you been?
Yeah, it's good to be here. Appreciate the invite. It's been good. Had a couple of relaxing weeks on vacation and getting geared up for training camp. So it's always a whirlwind kind of getting back into it once you get back from vacation.
What do you do with your time off, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, so actually I came your guys' direction I went a little farther, but my wife and I got married in Lake George, New York, up in the Adirondacks.
Yes.
So we often, every couple of years, we try to get back up there. We have a toddler now. He's three, so try to get him to experience it. So we were up there for like a week. We came home middle of last week. So It was nice. It was nice to get away for a little bit, and now it's kind of back to reality.
That's a funny coincidence. My son has a lacrosse tournament there this weekend. He's there now, and that's a highlight on the calendar every summer.
There you go.
It's about the biggest one I think I know of. I think they have 36 fields or something running lacrosse tournaments all weekend. So, yeah, it's a biggie.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
It's beautiful up there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Spencer, I think I have a little bit more favorable opinion of the Browns than most, but I'm not sure really what that is to say because so much of the talk is so pessimistic about them, and that starts at quarterback. I don't know. Can you see – you can say no, of course. Can you see a season where the Browns surprise?
Yeah, I'm curious. As you say, you have a more favorable opinion. I'm curious to see or get a sense of like where your head's at when you say favorable, because I've kind of been talking for a couple weeks now that listen, I get it. When you go 3-14, when you have the season that the Browns had last year, when you're one of the first picks in the draft, no one's looking at you the following year and thinking like, oh, you know, this team's going to surprise. No one's giving you the benefit of the doubt, frankly. Mm-hmm. So I understand where all that comes from. But being closer to the situation, on one hand, people could say, like, well, you're biased. But on the other hand, I do think, like, given how bad that offense was last year, just having a competent offense. I mean, they were the worst team in football last year in terms of scoring touchdowns. They scored 29 touchdowns last year, which is just absurd. Like, if they just have a competent offense, an offense that isn't going 3-and-out all the time, an offense that can at least, you know, make some games interesting. The problems last year, like any problems the defense had, everyone looked at the defense from last year and said, well, they regressed from the year before, which when you're the number one defense in football, that's bound to happen anyway. But they didn't really regress as far as I think people thought they did. I think it was more so just the offense put that defense in so many bad situations last year. Turnovers, you know, not giving them a good rest on the sideline because they were going 3-and-out so consistently, giving the other team short fields. All those things, I think, hindered the defense's ability to keep games closer than they tried, but they couldn't do it for extended periods of time. And I think that's part of the reason why you end up 3-and-14. I've kind of said, listen, I'm not predicting the Browns to be like a playoff team or anything crazy like that, but I think if you won three games last year with how bad that offense was, and you get an average offense this year, I don't see why the Browns, with a roster that not so like as recently as a year ago, we were talking about the Browns as a roster that should have been one of the best in football or was one of the best in football. I can see like six, maybe seven wins being something that this team accomplishes, and that kind of puts you in, I think, like the middle tier, the middle of the road in the NFL. So I think for a lot of people that would be surprising. Certainly if they were in that wild card picture late in the season, that would be the most surprising of all. I'm not, again, not going that far. But I do think like six, seven wins is pretty reasonable if they can just have a better offense and the defense is at least comparable to what it was last year and has a unit that can actually kind of complement it better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the schedule isn't great. The schedule does us no favors here. But, you're very close to where I am. I'll get a little bit more specific in a minute. You did mention turnovers, and with the Bills, we have, you know, the Bills have been so good. Part of their season last year was that they were, I think, maybe even exactly first in fewest turnovers and takeaways. So, I mean, that's going to help. And there is some randomness in that that I want to consider when trying to predict this year. The Browns were the rare team that threw more interceptions than they threw touchdown passes. So they were last in the league in interceptions thrown, and they had four picks themselves last. Fumbles, I think, are more random than picks, but still, like, that has to get better.
Yeah, and there's been a point of emphasis from a lot of the guys in the defense about that part. You know, you mentioned the four interceptions. What's interesting is I can remember multiple occasions last year, probably like a handful of times, probably like four or five times, where guys had like a ball in their hands and they just couldn't hang on. Denzel Ward, I think, dropped two or three of them last year. And, you know, Denzel Ward's such a nice guy. Like, he always, you know, jokes. He can be self-deprecating. I think he had a joke at one point about like hitting the jugs machine and trying to get better at catching the ball. And there's always that old cliche about you're a DB instead of a receiver in the NFL because you can't catch.
Yep.
So that was definitely a problem for them last year. I think they recognize that. You're right about the randomness of turnovers to a degree, but some of that is created by what a defense is doing, and this Browns defensive front is very much going to be an attacking front this year. They generally have been that in the past, but they've really leaned into that even further, I think, with the moves they made this offseason. And so being able to sort of generate those mistakes and opportunities for the secondary guys to make those plays, there should be plenty of those coming their way. They just got to hang on. So, yeah, listen, if they can cut down on turning the ball over, that's a huge step in the right direction anyway, even if the secondary can't. Or even if the defense can't create more turnovers, but certainly both those things trending in the opposite direction than they did a year ago would help their cause in getting to sort of this middle-of-the-road season that we're sort of talking about here.
Right. Spencer German, my guest here on WGR. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. So it's fun to try to predict, I mean, quote fun, to try to predict how the Browns' quarterback starts will add up this year. Like, who do they start with? When does it change if it does? And then does it change again or even another time after that? You got four guys here. Do you have any sort of broad stroke expectations for what they want to do? Like, what's best case? Or maybe it's a different answer. Best case for this season and then maybe best case for the organization would be something else.
So I think that's two different. I think like what I expect to happen and what I think is best for the organization, I think are two different things. Like what is probably best for the organization, in my opinion, would be starting one of the rookies from week one, seeing how it goes. And if he struggles, then go into the other rookie so that you maximize the amount of games that you get out of those two guys and can really get a picture of, okay, do we have something here? Do we need to draft a quarterback in next year's draft? Because right now everyone's kind of expecting that's the plan anyway with the two first-round picks they have, that they'll either trade up and get a guy or they'll be so bad that they'll be in position to get one and they'll just draft their franchise quarterback next year. But I think it's kind of silly. Like, why draft two quarterbacks if you're not going to try to evaluate them the best you can? And I understand, like, there's always that understanding that the team and the coaches, they're with those guys every day. They have the best sense of what they are, what they bring to the table, even more so than we do. But there always is a difference between practice and at the team facility versus in a live game setting. And so I do think that stuff matters. So that's if you want me to answer that part of it, it's like I think that's probably what would be best for the team, just to get a full evaluation. But what I think is going to happen is that they're going to start one of the veterans. My estimation would be that they would probably trade the other one, like the other one becomes trade bait, whoever loses that job. And then they keep the two rookies on the roster to start the year, and they have three guys to sort of start the year with the rookies kind of duking it out for that primary backup spot, the veterans duking it out for the starting role. I still feel that Flacco is going to be the guy they settle on when it's all said and done. He basically had like a first-round bye during minicamp. He didn't take a lot of the first-team reps because – frankly, they know what to expect from Joe Flacco. He was here not just 2 years ago. He knows the offense. He knows what they're going to ask him to do. He's a 17-year veteran. All three other guys are either getting acclimated because they're rookies or haven't been in the system before, like Kenny Pickett, and so they're trying to learn on the fly. But there is a lot of buzz, speaking of Kenny Pickett, about Pickett and the fact that the coaching staff and the organization is pretty high on him, part of the reason why they traded for him this offseason. So there are a number of people, like if you asked me, if you polled like the mass of our media contingent here in Cleveland, you'd probably get like a 50-50 split on who they think is going to start between the two veterans at the start of the season. Just because I think there is a lot of hype around Kenny Pickett in that building. But I just find it hard to believe that if their goal here is we're going to try to win while also rebuilding, you have a locker room of guys you got to sell that too. You have a locker room of guys that you're trying to sell like winning to, and I think Joe Flacco is going to ultimately give you the best chance to win it. And frankly, for an inexperienced team, I think Joe Flacco is going to make guys around him better. Like with a wide receiver room that's Jerry Jeudy and kind of this island of misfit toys, young running backs, young tight end that's now part of this conversation, like you could use a guy like Flacco who I think it lifts guys up rather than Kenny Pickett, who I think is kind of a mystery in that regard.
Yeah, interesting. Pickett, I guess, maybe to put it another way, is almost middling it by the Browns in a way that works for everybody. I mean, relative term, but works for everybody, where you've got some experience and it's, I guess, for what they have, passable as an idea that we're trying to compete. And he's also young, so maybe you can fall into a quarterback you want to invest in. I mean, that's a long shot, I would say, but still – it gives you both things, I think, if you're trying to convince the locker room that you're serious and, you know, be thinking about what might be best for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have the right perspective on that in terms of how the Browns are viewing it. There's always the comparison I always use is they kind of view Kenny Pickett as their Sam Darnold, not maybe like player to player, but in terms of being able to revive his career and then maybe earn a contract with the Browns or elsewhere if he pans out.
Yep.
I just think, like, in comparing those two, and this is where I said, like, not like apples to apples from a player standpoint, like, I just think Darnold, even when he was at his worst with the Jets, like, there was a reason he was the top, you know, five pick in the NFL draft. Like, he had some of those quarterback traits that you look for. He had some of the things that you, and you saw a guy that could, like, stand in the pocket and do some things. It was just ugly and at times not great. I don't think coaching helped him there. And then he got with the right coach and situation, it turned out. I don't know that Kenny Pickett has, like, those gifts. I also think, like, Kenny, I think last year thrived in an offense when he had opportunities with the Eagles that was more spread and use him as a runner. And Kenny and Kevin Stefanski is more of that outside zone run, play action style offense. So it's interesting. There's some different dynamics there. I still think because of, as I just laid out, like, Flacco makes the most sense, fits the best. But I do see the connection on, like, why they'd be excited about a guy like Pickett and giving him a chance to kind of revive his career. And they believe that they have the right coaches in place to pull that out of him and maybe have him have that same result that Sam Darnold did this past offseason.
I'll get to the schedule again here, Spencer, because you could put the Browns schedule in a different order and maybe end up in a different place at what the quarterback plan should be. Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings. I mean, that's a pretty brutal start for a team trying to get anywhere. Like, Flacco has his merits. I did say I was more optimistic, I think, than the market when it comes to Cleveland. But they're gonna, if I'm gonna be right, they're gonna need to win a couple of those games, I think.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Like, the schedule, we've talked about the schedule a ton here in Cleveland, obviously, and that opening stretch I think is the biggest reason why. The team is probably hesitant to start a rookie because I think they don't want to put a rookie out in a situation that's, you know, not advantageous to them having success. And with the gauntlet of teams theoretically that you play, that obviously makes some sense. You want a veteran out there, going back to the point, I'm like trying to sell to the locker room that you're trying to win when you start a veteran. I think that also sort of speaks to that a little bit more. But here's the thing too, like, you talk about the schedule being a different order. I actually think, like, we do this every year where we think about how these teams were a year ago and we say, well, hey, like, this is a tough schedule because of how they were last year. But year to year, we know, like, the league changes so much. Some teams, you know, surprise you. Like, even a team like the Vikings, which theoretically is going to be a tough game in week five, J.J. McCarthy's their quarterback now. Do we know for sure that, like, he's going to be what Sam Darnold was or he's going to be great? Like, there's questions there, right? The Bengals theoretically are a tough matchup, but over the course of Kevin Stefanski's time here, he has generally had a lot of success against Joe Burrow for whatever reason, and they've kind of had the Bengals number to a degree. So I think because it's early in the season too, teams often, like, weeks one through five, weeks one through six, it's a lot of figuring out who you are. The Bengals, I think, are the biggest testament to that, right? Like, how many years in a row have they started, like, 0-4, 0-5, and they find a way to dig themselves out of it and make themselves at least a playoff contender at the end of the season? So I actually think, yes, it's tough based on, like, what we know about these teams that they play at that stretch, but it also might be the best time to play some of those teams because if a team like the Bengals or the Ravens or the Lions get off to a slow start because they're trying to kind of get their feet underneath them, you are kind of in a situation where maybe the playing field's a little bit more level if the Browns start the year hot, and they can maybe sneak up on some of those teams and get a win. So I think sometimes we blow that out of proportion to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree it looks like a tough stretch of the schedule and is probably going to play into their quarterback decision. But I also wonder if this actually maybe works in the Browns' favor a little bit.
That opener against Cincinnati 2 years ago that the Browns won, they gave up 6 first downs. The Bengals could just do nothing in that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, so right. Who knows what teams are going to look like once we get there. With Spencer German, so the Giants are talked about a lot as a team that when it comes to their coach and GM, they have to win. So they've got, it's not too dissimilar. They've got Russell Wilson, they've got Jameis Winston, and then they went and drafted Jackson Dart in the first round. They, by the way, also have, I mean, it's a harder schedule, which is pretty cruel considering how bad the Giants have been, but it's awful. So I think most people think it's just a matter of time before they get to the rookie, but there is that sense that for the coach's sake and maybe also the GM's sake, they have to win games. and that sort of factors into how people see what the Giants are going to do. Is that, in your opinion, similar to how it is going to go with the Browns? I mean, Stefanski's won Coach of the Year twice, I think. Is he under pressure to win?
It's actually a really fair question from like an outside market, because I do think most other markets in the NFL, even on a national level, they're going to look at the Browns situation and be like, how is Kevin Stefanski not sort of on a hot seat, right? Like 3-14 last year, took a major step back with a roster that was supposed to be good. They've obviously missed on the Deshaun Watson thing, and that's where even Andrew Berry's seat maybe comes into question. But what's interesting is the feeling here in Cleveland is that this is kind of a two-year trial run, two-year rebuild situation for both those guys. Jimmy Haslam at the owners' meetings in March, he sat down with a small contingent of media and talked about the Deshaun Watson thing and called it a big swing and a miss were his exact words,
yep.
And that they have to dig themselves out of that hole now. And it was a lot of the language he used just spoke to or felt very much like he was expressing patience, like he's going to give these guys time to sort of sort this thing out and see the other end of the Deshaun Watson situation and if they can find another quarterback. So understanding what they did in the draft, especially where you trade back and you don't take Travis Hunter, you take Mason Graham, you don't take a quarterback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Quarterback until the third round, like that certainly speaks to a team that an organization and people internally that don't really feel like they're pressured to do anything or being forced to do anything. So I think they sort of feel like they have a little bit of a leash here. And I think that I'd be shocked if they fired anybody midseason. Obviously things can change, and I'm not saying it's been told to them, like, you guys are safe no matter what. Because obviously, like I said, things can change in a hurry. And I think the biggest thing is, like, if they are 3-14 again and Kevin Stefanski just like loses the locker room and guys are quitting on him, that's the easiest way for any coach to get fired. So yes, like there's a reason to put Kevin Stefanski in the hot seat and say, like, you know, he can't have a terrible season, 'cause then you just never know. But if he at least has like a season like we've talked about, like gets to 6 or 7 wins and maybe exceeds what the Vegas number is and what the expectations are, I think it's pretty fair to say he's back next year, Andrew Berry's back next year, and they get kind of one last year to get the quarterback situation figured out and get this thing back on track in a sort of quick two-year rebuild that they're sort of looking at right now.
Yeah. I mean, we both know how it's based on expectations. If the Browns win 8 games, you could win a Coach of the Year for a third time.
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
Beat the over-under by the most, and you're the Coach of the Year. Congratulations. Just a couple more quick ones for you, Spencer. I wonder if you think there will be a, like a, what do I want to say, dead cat bounce? Maybe not. If with Deshaun Watson not around, will the team be better for it in a sort of a an emotional way, or maybe it wasn't that bad for me to think that that would happen?
It's a fair question. Like it's hard sometimes to get a read because I'm somebody, I'm sure you're the same way. Like you can only trust so much that's said at like press conferences. And every time they talk about Deshaun, you know, Kevin's talked already throughout the spring about how Deshaun's very much involved in the quarterback room. He's working with the young guys. He's, you know, talking to them, giving us, sharing some things. That became a big point of contention here in Cleveland among fans. Cause they were like, do you really want Deshaun Watson mentoring young guys? I would say this, like, listen, he still at one point was one of the best quarterbacks in football. Like you can, he still can enlighten some experience and some things that he's seen throughout his career from a football standpoint. And so I think that's fair. So I don't think like within the locker room he's like hated by people. Mm-hmm. I do think though, like, and there were some comments made by Joel Bitonio and even Jack Conklin at the end of last season about how they leaned too much into the like building the offense around one person and not what they were good at. And I think that kind of spoke to maybe some of the feelings in the locker room that they thought it was too much about Deshaun and it kind of got away from what they did best. So I do think there would be a little bit of a relief once he's kind of gone. And I think it's also just the natural feeling when somebody who brings a lot of attention and a lot of negative attention at that to the team is kind of out of the picture. But right now everyone's kind of putting on a happy face. Everyone's kind of just playing the game. I've kind of compared it to a marriage where the couple staying together because they have a kid and they want the kid to get to college before they like break it all up and, you know, ruin the kid's life or whatever. They're just kind of like putting on a happy face. They're being nice about it, being cordial about it until they can sort of split up. And I've kind of predicted, I think that happens at the end of the season or next off season rather, because you can spread out the two cap hits. If you make them a June 1st cut over 2 years and it's like 50 something million per, which isn't the end of the world of a cap hit to eat. Others, I think, maybe say it would be another year beyond this, so we'll see. But, yeah, for now, it's kind of just playing the game, and we'll have to see how it all sort of shakes out.
Watson led the league in passing yards 5 years ago, 2020, the COVID year. Seems like a lot longer ago when that would have been the case. One more quickly, Spencer. Do you have an Elijah Moore take?
Yeah, I think Elijah Moore is severely underrated, I guess is maybe how I put it. I think he I think he got a bad sort of situation here in Cleveland when he got here. There was a lot of hope that he could be sort of like that number two, number three role for this team with both Amari Cooper the first year, when he was first here, and then last year with Amari Cooper as maybe the number three guy in Jerry Jeudy. And then when Amari got traded to Buffalo to you guys, I think they kind of thought he could do a little bit more. And I think you saw some of the best of Elijah Moore when he had the competent quarterback play, frankly. Like when Joe Flacco was his quarterback at the end of 2023, he put up his best numbers here with the team, and I think he had some similar stats last year when Jameis Winston was under center, a guy who could actually throw him the football and find him. So I think with Josh Allen, he has a legitimate chance to really, really get kind of bounce back and put himself in a situation, maybe get a big contract. That's a great situation for him. I think he kind of flies under the radar, especially being in Cleveland with a bad quarterback situation the last couple of years. But I think he didn't get a fair shake here because I do think he's a talented player.
Very good. We're all hoping you're right. Spencer, you gave us a lot of your time today. Welcome back to work. And we'll talk again maybe around the time where the two teams meet, I think in December.
That is right. Yep. We'll plan on it. And I appreciate you guys having me on as always.
You're welcome. Thanks, Spencer. Spencer German, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. How bold... I've been asking myself this. How bold a prediction is it to make that Elijah Moore could be second on the Bills in catches? How bold a prediction is that? Do you have a bold prediction? I was on a podcast yesterday, and it was Theo Greminger, and he's been on this show a lot. And he is the number one guy for letting his guests know what he's going to do. He does so much work. He sends me the Google Doc with all the different topics that we either will hit on or might hit on. I don't do that. I Spencer German had no idea. He probably assumed it was going to be mostly about the Browns. He did not expect a question about his wedding, probably. But, you know, still. Theo, if Theo wanted to ask me about my wedding, he would prep me. He's good like that. So I did his show yesterday, and at the end he goes, all right, Mike, what's one bold prediction for the season? And I'm like, what? You didn't tell me you were going to ask me that. And I just was completely stumped. Terrible job by me. I didn't have one. So sheepishly, I texted him later in the day, like, oh, I got one. I got one. And he's like, probably a lot of good that does me now. I mean, what am I going to do with that? But I said, I'm fading Detroit. I'm out on Detroit. I'm out on, mostly out on Gibbs, mostly out on St. Brown, definitely out on Laporta. I feel like Detroit is going to drop off. And he's like, you know, cool. I don't care anymore what your bold prediction is. That was for the show, Mike. So how bold a prediction is it to think Elijah Moore could mean something important to the Bills? Do you have a thought on that or another one of your own? 803-0550. We've got time for your calls here coming up. We'll get into the golf tournament with Brian Koziol in just over an hour. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Oh, baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.